Hey, everybody.
Get your shit together. This is Dick Talk.
I'm Karina.
I'm Killian.
I'm Emily.
And this week, we went a little vintage and read Love Storm by Judith E. French. Lady Elizabeth Somerset is betrothed to be married to some guy.
Some punk.
Some rich, powerful guy. And she is sailing from England to the colonies because it's like 1664 to meet up with him and get married. But on the way, her ship encounters some stormy weather and she is rescued by the breathtaking, dashing, handsome Payne Dare. After he has rescued her, he decides that she's his, and he tells him as much. He saw in a vision that she would be gifted to him by the sea, and now she has to reckon with her feelings for him versus her duty to her family to marry whatever the fuck his name was. What the summary does not indicate is that Payne Dare is a Native American man in the colonies, so that adds another layer.
I'm sure this will be fine.
It will be fine.
It was not fun. Everything went wrong. If you are titillated by this and want to read this book, please be forewarned that our podcast does not shy away from spoilers. If you have read Love Storm, we would love to hear from you. Email us at dicktalkthepodcast@gmail.com or find us on Instagram or TikTok at dicktalkpod, DIKTOKPOD.
So I will start by saying, I did not know that the Native American element would be playing into this because the name in the summary did not indicate that. He does have his English name, Payne Dare, and his real name, Shakan Kihitun. And also, the reason I picked this book is because I wanted to do like a vintage bodice ripper, specifically one that had Fabio on the cover.
And Fabio, not of Native descent.
He is Native Italian, maybe. So yeah, that was a nice little surprise 3% of the way through the book.
I'm glad to hear you say that you did not pick this knowing full well what it was about.
No, fuck no. Yeah, if I had known how many times they referred to him as a savage, I would definitely not have picked this book.
Uh-huh. That is far from the only awful racist description used.
And I did have to remind myself it was written in the 80s, the 1980s, so not too long ago. And it's also taking place in the 1660s, which is when they felt this way. And by they, I mean the whites felt this way about Native Americans. So, like, it's accurate to how they felt, and just because the author is writing it doesn't mean she feels the same way and is condoning it.
Still, in a world where we have Bridgerton, which is not perfect on its own, but like...
Ah, but this world that it was written, we didn't have Bridgerton.
I know. But in this world in which I read it, we do.
Damn.
And so I find myself thinking like, okay, so we're reading this because we've assigned it to ourselves. But can we not just have a historic retelling where it's not ultimately shitty to everyone but the white people?
Probably.
Was it ultimately shitty to everyone but the white people?
It was shitty to the white people too, kind of, but...
Oh, no, that's not what I was saying.
Okay.
I was saying he gets the girl.
He does. Mm-hmm.
She has compassion for him the whole time and feelings for him.
Yeah, and it does definitely allow for a character development. Unfortunately, that development is like, I was racist and now I'm not.
Which also isn't the case.
Less racist,
yeah.
Maybe. Obviously, in today's context, it rubbed me the wrong way. But can we really apply 2023 standards to 1980-something writing about 1660-something events?
I mean, yes.
We can.
It's called problematizing. Mm-hmm. And we can do that.
Judith E. French is canceled.
I just read Braiding Sweetgrass, which is a Native American perspective on ecology. And her tribe is from the Great Lakes region. And the Lenni Lenape people are from Delaware, which is Kane's tribe. And she goes through a bunch of different tribes when talking about like different approaches to the land, land management, etc. As I expected, I don't think that Judith French did a lot of research.
Yeah,
just like there was not a huge cultural divide in their perspective, especially when it came to male chauvinistic actions, like rereading again the beginning, the way that he treats her at the beginning, and a perspective on possessions. Him being like, you are mine. You are mine. You came from the ocean. You are gifted to me. And I'm like, is that fitting?
Right.
With what I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was wondering, like, how much research she did, especially in use of the language of Algonquin.
I wondered too.
Well, Wikipedia was no fucking help on that, because I did try to look some shit up, and I was, and it was just like, can't know.
There is a good amount of Algonquin used in this.
To the point that they were communicating back and forth.
Yeah, and sometimes like it wasn't translated into English, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah. Is that the accurate language?
But I don't know. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if that's the language they use. But you said they're like in Delaware. Does that mean like they were? I'm terrible at geography. How far away is Virginia? Because she was trying to get to Virginia.
It's not far when you're driving.
The original colonies were not the current state boundaries.
True. I don't know how accurate things were, but on a surface level, it was like, okay, Judith.
Could have been worse.
It could have been a lot worse.
Well, and the Algonquin Roundtable was founded in New York, which is close enough to Delaware that I would maybe believe that.
Because like the tribes aren't obviously bound by our state lines.
Right.
So what we're saying is, Judith French, we can't believe you didn't research. We didn't either.
Sorry, I meant to.
Nothing.
I just finished the book this morning, so I did not have time to research.
There was one major thing that I was like, which was the plague. I did have to do a little research on like a pandemic timeline because she is, so it's 1665. They're in London at this point.
Right. Oh, right. And they have to evacuate.
The plague. They call it the Black Death,
which is not
right. I was like, I'm terrible at knowing when things happen, but wasn't that like 300 years earlier? But then I did look up the timeline, and in 1665 in London, there was a great plague.
All right.
So I was like, okay, so you got like the exact,
was
you're
it the
right.
bubonic plague?
No, not the bubonic plague, but I think it was somewhat related, but it wasn't like the bubonic plague. So I was like, okay, Judith. Rescinded. I apologize. I'm so sorry.
Just a little plague on both your houses.
Right. Just a little bit.
Pause for train. Chugga 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 choo choo.
The train is like, I love Judith E. French.
Tell me more about tumescent manhoods. I got some iron for you right here. How long will train be today?
That long.
All right.
All right. All right. Bye-bye, train.
So I do want to do a quick rundown of the plot, because this book was plot heavy.
It was. A lot happened. All of it realistic and believable.
We start on the ship during a storm. She pushes the serving girl into the rescue boat and gets on her own boat. And then it all crashes. She passes out. She wakes up dehydrated. Kane finds her.
Oh, my God. When he rescues her.
When he rescues her and puts the deer skin over her face immediately to keep her from getting more sunburned, I was like, can you imagine how bad that smells?
Oh, yeah, lol. Yeah.
I was just thinking, she would already have been so sunburned.
So sunburned. Yeah. But when she's watching him fish, I think. Yeah, and he's totally naked in the ocean. I was like, oh, it's the naked fisherman. Finally!
Attempting to converse with a naked savage was most unnerving.
Ugh. Just peep your eyes up. Come on, girl.
His eyes are up there.
Yeah.
But his dick is down there.
I do want to say, at one point, she said that the wigwam is so clean that it could be one of her father's hen houses. And I was like,
that's his home.
A chicken house? Girl, you ever been in a chicken house?
No,
shit all over the ground.
That too, yeah.
That ain't clean.
Yeah. Also, like, that's his actual home. For himself.
She came from a lot of privilege.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ocean has promised him a wife who looks like her. He's like, hell yeah.
They had some little Roanoke mythology sprinkled in.
Oh, right. Because Kane's grandmother is Virginia Dare, who was the first white to be born in the U.S., in the colonies. Her father was the
governor of Virginia, or grandfather was.
He goes back to England, and he's going to come back, but he gets delayed for 3 years. This is what actually happened. He gets delayed for 3 years. He comes back, and the colony's no longer there. And there is Roanoke carved into a tree, and it's a great mystery.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a fucking mystery. They went to live with the natives.
Yeah. Obviously.
Judith E. French knows.
Right. So that's why Kane has his English name.
Well, he's got, he's white.
His white name.
Yeah. His white name. And then his Algonquin name.
There was a bit of non-consensual marriage happening.
Yeah, like, thanks, Virginia Dare.
Like, that was vows?
She's like, take me to Virginia. I need to be with the white people. He eventually capitulates and does. She's going to meet her fiance, which she finds out that bitch went back to England without her.
Because he was the second son, and now his older brother and father have died. So now he is Duke.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's crucial.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Crucial. So she's taken care of by
Kane. Dare.
No.
Oh, in Jamestown? Some rich white people.
They're not her aunt and uncle. They're just
some rich white people.
Okay. Kane comes and finds her and is like, hey, run away with me. She catches a fever.
Yeah, she was delirious. She doesn't even know that it happened.
She got the doo-doo barf disease.
Which, like, were they poisoning her?
I
think so.
No.
Yeah, I think poisoning the tea. But they were like, oh, it's the ague, which I had to look up and is like malaria.
The little serving girl that she saved is also there.
Yeah.
Betty.
Who overhears Kane being like, hey, come with me. And so when she decides to go, Betty rats her out. Mm-hmm. And so she gets trapped, and then they hunt down Kane. They're gonna kill him, but then they end up kidnapping him and put him on the ship.
Right. Because the soldiers tasked with killing him are selfish, and they heard there is a random Englishman offering a bounty for a savage.
To have as a pet and
display. Uh-huh.
Display.
Yeah, bring around to parties.
In London society. And guess who that rich Englishman is?
You'll never guess.
You'll never guess. It's her fiance.
Edward, probably.
So Edward.
Probably
Edward
his name.
Smallsword.
Dingleberry.
So she does find out that he's on the ship and they're torturing him. And she kind of sweet talks the captain into not torturing him. She goes down to see him one night, gets caught. And what? We don't really know what happens with that.
It suffers no consequences.
Yeah, she has to talk to the captain, mm-hmm. but we don't know what the conversation's like.
She pleads womanly sensibilities or some
right.
shit.
She's yeah. like, well, if you don't beat him up, then he'll look better and fetch a higher price.
Yeah, there's some, like, clever womanly wiles used throughout this book to manipulate dumb misogynists.
I mean, she doesn't show him her pussy,
no.
so, like...
She's not dumb. She's just petulant?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty petulant. That's a good word for it.
Yep, accurate description.
Mm-hmm.
I did like that Judith E. French also pulled no punches with describing how awful London was then, how smelly and unsanitary.
Dude,
and
there are more instances of mentioning the doo-doo barf disease and its symptoms of doo-doo and barfing than there are of descriptions of actual sex scenes.
Oh, what a tally.
At one point, she talks about Elizabeth, like, no longer soiling the bed like a mm-hmm. wee babe.
In a time before plumbing, did you just have to be more comfortable with bodily excretions?
Must have.
Feels bad, man.
Poor Betty. Poor Betty the maid.
Yeah, man.
Changing all those sheets.
Woof.
Did she die?
Yeah.
Yeah. They did her dirty.
Maybe she was just shot by a highwayman
that
was kidnapping her and was just like, oh, well.
Damn.
Also very strange to have an Elizabeth and a Betty, I thought. But whatever. There was only like 5 names back then, so maybe that's it.
Mm-hmm.
She goes home to her father. He's like, thought you were dead. She's like, I ain't. And she's like, can we let the Native American guy go?
He saved me. He did honor to our family.
And he's like, are you in love with him? She's like, what?
No.
Me?
What?
No.
I would never.
Then she ends up getting married to Edward, who's negligent and low-key abusive. He can't get it up, which seems to be his biggest sin because mm-hmm. of gout.
something.
Some heart condition,
he's
maybe?
Like cartoonishly evil.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you kind of have to make him to make the infidelity okay.
It drives me nuts that he's terrible to her and he's like, if only I could still fuck. I think that she really would be the woman I'd want as my wife.
Right?
And it's like,
no.
If only I didn't have a
You're also
disease.
Terrible in so many other ways.
Bro. He tries to rape her at a party, but then she ends up meeting Kane in the garden.
Making out,
which I was like, girl, I've
and
seen Bridgerton.
Fingered.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good idea.
She does. She has her first orgasm, and she didn't know that those were a thing that could happen.
Yeah, she was like, oh, I didn't know it would be like that.
What a lovely surprise.
Yeah.
And then he has a plan that he, like, doesn't communicate to her, but he just, like, runs off and gets caught. And then she's like, I understand this plan intuitively, and goes up to her husband and is like,
makes her own plot.
Yeah. She does find out about Edward paid off a servant to kill his father and brother, but he didn't mean for his father to get killed, just his brother. So she tells him she knows that, and she's like, you better leave me the fuck alone. And he's like, all right.
Fine, your dad's powerful.
Yeah, and then...
But then the plague.
Then the plague hits, yeah, mm-hmm. And her dad dies, and her mother-in-law dies, and her brother dies?
Stepmother.
No, her brother's fine? Stepmother?
Yeah,
the important
players in her family.
Yeah, it's like father,
died.
Stepmother, and brother,
yeah.
I think.
But there's still at least a brother, mm-hmm. because he ends up taking over...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he ends up inheriting.
Fucking no.
Then she gets kidnapped, and her husband's like, fuck yeah. And they're going to kill her, but they don't tell her that. They
guess
lock her in.
Guess who rescues her, though.
Yeah, guess who rescues her.
Ooh.
Because he's a tracker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's good.
Yeah, it was more of a detailed description of the scene where Elizabeth fights the highwayman's wife than there was of any actual sex.
Yeah. But the husband tries to pay off the same guy to kill her. And he's like, but I like her.
But she's
cool.
She's not bad for a noble. Unlike you, who is bad for a noble.
Or for a person.
Yeah.
So then he has to come back and be like, yeah, I didn't actually kill her. But I'm going to kill you. But this is the same time that Cain and Elizabeth run away together.
They don't even know.
Yeah.
They run away together and get married.
So she had this maid who faked sick before because she didn't want to cross the Atlantic
Bridget,
Ocean.
Her Irish
Bridget,
maid.
Yeah. And so Bridget runs away to marry the carriage guy? Another servant.
Yeah, like some other servant.
And Elizabeth and Cain go and stay with them and they get to fuck in a hayloft and it's good. And then they're like, fucking, let's go back to America.
Mm-hmm. And live happily ever after.
It's a cute happily ever after.
They have their little kids that were going to be bilingual.
Yeah. Could the daughter of an earl really have lived a happily ever after living off the land? I am dubious.
Well, I think the theme of this book is like...
She learns to love it.
Do you want a life of physical hardship or do you want a life of emotional hardship?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a taste of how fucking wild this plot is.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a lot. A lot happens.
So many coincidences and conveniences.
Should we talk about the racism against Irish people too?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's that.
Wild.
No one but the English are spared.
I mean, that's also pretty accurate,
mm-hmm.
as far as the racism back then.
Yep.
'Tis just a bit of blarney. She grinned broadly, exposing a missing tooth.
She's straight up leprechaun. She's like Dee's caricature of Irish.
She clicked her heels together and threw a piece of gold. Well, and also at the end where they just keep telling everyone he's Irish, and I'm like, yo.
That is
way off.
Yeah.
I don't, all of the people of Irish descent I know are pasty.
Yeah.
Well, and also, like, in the beginning, they described one of the maids as having jet black hair, an Irish maid having, and I was like, do they make us in that color? So maybe if you don't know what color hair Irish people have, like, sure.
Yeah.
The Delaware native. He's Irish, too. Fuck it.
Yeah. Or Welsh, you know.
Oh, the Welsh.
That's a pasty group.
94% of the way through, I think they're on the ship back to the colonies for their happy ever after. And talking about the Irishmen and the English indentured servants, they gathered together in a knot at the stern of the vessel, and I highlighted it and said, finally, some smutty shit. I guess I'm not. Okay, Judith. Unfortunately, we really didn't get any description of the sex.
No. It was very fade to black.
They did fuck. Or they made love. We'll say
I
mean, that.
I got a titillating sentence for you.
Yes.
Unable to refuse him, she closed her shaking hand around the source of his arousal. His loins tightened, and he groaned as her fingers caressed the tumescent length of his impassioned manhood.
Ooh!
That is as smutty as it gets.
Ooh, yeah, the quivering lips yeah. of her most secret spot.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Oh, and then there was an instance of heaving bosom. That is definitely grocery store paperback romance novel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm learning where a lot of the cliches come
mm-hmm,
from.
Mm-hmm.
This is night and day between what we normally read.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. kind of why I wanted to do it.
Go back to the origins.
You got to know your roots. Okay, so there's like a lot of good like kissing action, you know, fiery, passionate kissing. And then he entered her slowly, tenderly, with agonizingly provocative thrusts, letting the swollen tip of his engorged rod caress and tease her willing flesh as she strained against him, intent on release. The brief flash of pain was gone before she could do more than gasp, and then the ancient rhythm seized them and hurled them together toward a mutual soul-shattering rapture. That was the first one. I was like, that's it?
That's it.
Then we get desire kindled once more as they whispered words of love to each other and touched and kissed. This time Elizabeth felt no pain when they came together. Instead, there was a lingering rapture that filled her heart with happiness. And I said, that's it!
Lingering rapture, that's all we get.
And then we got, oh, her body trembled beneath his. Against her will, her hands found their way into his clothing to touch and tease him. And before they could gain control of her wayward body, they were locked in the throes of passionate lovemaking. Yes, queen, give us nothing. At the end. And she says, will it always be like that for us? She asked him, and I was like what?
Will I always get to come? Answer me.
I mean, that's pretty progressive, I guess. I don't know.
She's had one orgasm. You just can't stop him after that.
Yeah, it's like Pringles, dude. Once you pop, you just can't stop.
One of my favorite sentences is about Elizabeth. She could not deny that she had allowed herself to be fondled by ardent swains back in the day, which just made me think of the titles of like some books we've read. Fondled by the ardent swains. Deceived by the gargoyles.
Stolen by a pirate.
Mm-hmm. Better than fucking Love Storm, I'll say that much.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
We all kept being like, what's the title of this book?
I guess a storm shipwrecked her and she found
into
her
love.
Love.
Yeah.
I didn't say it's inaccurate. I just said it's bad.
It is bad.
And not memorable. So this was like a enemies to lovers, but we missed the transitions. Like, they're such bitches to each other in the beginning.
They are.
And they cannot get past themselves at all. And then it's just like, but he is
Oh, we
hot.
Love each other.
Yeah. So I guess they're like these tense moments of attraction. And that's fine. Well, he thinks it's faded, so whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Yeah, I guess there wasn't necessarily one specific instance of, and that's when I realized he's a human being. And also that I'm attracted to him and I love him. For real. It's not just on like a surface level.
I want his pants.
I want what is going on underneath his loincloth.
I
want
to get under that apron of skin.
Well, there is a thing with white loins. Women fetishizing brown men, so.
There is.
Does it end in marriage and children? I don't know.
In this book, yes.
Yeah. Let that be a lesson to us all.
Mm-hmm. Much to think about.
I'd rather not think about this book all that much more.
Rating?
I really couldn't think of anything. I just said, please go back to England.
I said, I Virginia dog dare you to omit just a smidgen of racism out of this book.
Ooh.
I said, is it racist because it was written in the 1980s? Racist because it was set in the 1600s? Or racist because it's a white lady writing about Native Americans?
All of the above. And it all combines into one perfect love storm.
Ba-da-bum, ba-da-bum. Dick Talk stars Karina McGeehan, Killian Ross, and Emily Shirley. It's edited by Karina McGeehan, produced and bartended by Derek Adams, and recorded at Shadow Public Radio.